Welcome into another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you're having a great day. Don't you wish you could just bottle some of this air out there right now, or this past week, and open it up sometime in July and August? It'd just be wonderful. We just celebrated Mother's Day last Sunday, and I did not say anything about the moms out there. You know, I spent Sunday with my mom, and then my wife's mom, and you know, but I think one of the best Mother's Day messages was from Steve Rinella. So take a second and listen to what Steve had to say about moms.
I think that moms get a... I feel bad for moms. Moms get a bad rap, especially moms that raise up hunting and fishing kids, because this whole thing in our, like, an outdoor culture, there's this whole dad-son fixation. Like, guys like me always talk about, oh, my dad did this, my dad did that. And moms tend to be, like, at least with my generation, unsung heroes, man. My mom would drive us around to check traps, let us skip school to go fish, help us clean our fish, cook squirrels, help us clean squirrels, fill our stocking full of 22 shells and BBs and pellets, and was just like and very supportive and encouraged us to be outside. And then we did go on and spend our entire life talking about old dad. It's really not fair. And so for you, mom, if you're out there, I'm sorry. And I love you. And you did a lot for us.
You know, and he's right. I can remember my mom taking my brother and I squirrel hunting. My mom took me deer hunting when I was growing up. She'd climb a tree. I'd be sitting in a stand back then was a couple of 2x8s nailed across a couple of tree limbs, you know. But she would climb a tree behind me and sit in the tree on a limb. And so I'm right there with Steve when it comes to the moms that raise the outdoor kids. They do so much and get so little credit for it. So to my mom, thank you, Mom. I know we spent Sunday morning together and happy Mother's Day, but I just wanted to make it a public deal. Thank you for raising me up to be an outdoorsman, to enjoy being outside, and give me the freedom to do that. Dad gave me the opportunity of growing up in the country. He gave me the opportunity to have a gun, to go hunting, the responsibility he gave me. But Mom, you're the one at the ground level that got me going, so thank you. And just to tease you a little bit for next week's program, which is Saturday my daughter gets married. Still dealing with that. That's a tough one for dads. I'm sure you dads have been through it and know what I'm talking about. Steve Rinella is actually going to be on the show next week. So you'll want to tune in. It's a fun one. We decided to do a little something different rather than just be issue specific or something we want to talk about. It bounced all over the place. It's going to be a great show. So tune in next week because Steve Rinella, Meat Eater, is going to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina again. And I wish you could have listened. We talked for about 10 minutes before we ever went on, and with his schedule, we had to record this early, and we had about 10 minutes. We talked about all sorts of stuff, and it was fun. Angelo was here with me, and he just he was rolling on the floor. just a great guy and a really good time, and I think you'll really enjoy next week's show with Steve. We're going to get in a good calendar of events here. I got about 6 minutes to go. And this is just someplace to start with people. This is to get an idea out there because there's so much in South Carolina you can do outdoors. And one of the coolest places in South Carolina is the coast. And I know I talk a lot about doing things at the beach or in the salt marshes and stuff like that. But Coastal Expeditions is a great thing. And they've got a Santee Delta River Cruise and Beach Drop. And there's actually three of them, May 23rd, June 2nd, June 23rd. I'll bring these back up, but I guess with the 23rd being this week and then the 2nd being a week away, probably need to call them and get booked if you want to do these. They're from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. or 11:30 to 4:30 p.m. It travel through diverse ecosystems from lush bottomland forest, freshwater tidal marshes, and remnant rice fields into salt marsh estuary where you'll find yourself on the front beach of a barrier island looking out across the open Atlantic. It's the Santee River, and it's just one of those things that you just can't appreciate it until you're in it. You know, you got to be part of it to be to really get the full flavor of what a coastal environment, marsh environment's like. So you're going to go out to Cedar Island, and you know, you may get looks at swallowtail kites, which is a pretty cool thing. They migrate from Brazil to this area of South Carolina to breed every summer. And you know what they thrive off of? Dragonflies, of all things. So it's pretty cool. Again, they you have a great guide, and it's just a really cool thing to do. Coastal expeditions, you know, the activity level, you're on a boat cruise, you leave right from the beach, you get to the island, it's up to you to whatever you want to do. You know what to wear, shoes you don't mind getting wet, a hat, synthetic clothing because it dries faster. Swimsuits are optional, so you might want to bring those. Bring your own water, sunscreen. They've got a whole list of things there at Coastal Expeditions. So go on their website, and this is just one of the things they've got going on this summer. Something we don't often talk about here is, but I got this from the South Carolina Department of Agriculture, dates set for waste pesticide collections. You know, we use them around the house, around the farm to keep bugs and spiders down, but every once in a while we get them and we don't know what to do with them. We don't want them anymore. You don't want to pour them into the groundwater, that's for sure. So they've set up, you know, a couple of dates where you can take that stuff. So chemical and pesticide quantity accepted, we limited to 2,500 pounds of solid, 300 gallons of liquid at no charge. Herbicides, insecticides, nematicides, fungicides, and similar products used in agricultural production or around the home. Rinsate will not be accepted. Fertilizer will not be accepted. No compressed gas cylinders. And they will be, these events will be canceled due to inclement weather, but there'll be makeup sessions. So anyway, May the 22nd, Calhoun County, Middling Cotton Company in St. Matthews. I just passed there a couple weeks ago. Coming from Santee. May 23rd, Berkeley County, Santee Cooper there in Monk's Corner is another one. May 29th, Cherokee County, that's at Fox Hollow Farm in Gaffney, South Carolina. And May 30th, Anderson County, Carolina Fresh Farms. If you want more information, go to the South Carolina Department of Agriculture website, and they got contact information for John Stokes in there. You can get all that. And like I said, the day or so before you want to go, just check their website and make sure it's still there. But that's an important thing. Don't pour this stuff into the ground, because there it seeps into creeks. It either goes into somebody's drinking water where it's, you know, or into the ocean, and that's not something we want. Bamberg County, all summer long, offers South Fork and Edisto River canoe kayak trips. The one for June is Saturday, June 1st. They're going to launch at 9 a.m. at Nest Landing. There's a free shuttle service for these monthly canoe trips. You need to bring your own boat and gear, including a life jacket and a whistle, which we're going to learn the next segment, are required by law. If you need to rent a boat, contact Earl Johnson, Edisto River Adventures, and or get a hold of them and make sure you got room for you. But that's a fun one, too. The 2019 Woods Runner Shindig and Low Country Boil is happening right here in, I believe it's Clinton, South Carolina, at the Wood Runner School. May 31st, 2 p.m. to June 2nd. They can have it all. It's about the event as the Spring Shindig. The Wood Runner School of Self-Reliance welcomes you and your family to our training facility on May 1st. Through June 2nd for a fun and exciting weekend of good food, demonstrations, and challenges in the field of wilderness knowledge and skills. The weekend is an awesome opportunity for everyone to enjoy nature and great fellowship. Whether you have extensive knowledge of outdoor skills, just a base set of skills, or no skills at all, this event is something for you. So that's going to be a really fun one. And then I think I'm going to cover this one after we get done with the boating safety. We're going to talk to Sergeant Ray Lewis over the next segment or two about boating safety. You know, Memorial Day is kicking off boating season, and we want everybody to be safe. So hang on through the break. We're going to talk boating safety and everything involved and included in that. It's just about keeping you safe on the water. So hang on. More Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, it's the weekend before Memorial Day. And I'm sure while the rest of you are out there having fun on the lake and barbecues, I'm going to be at my daughter's wedding. So Y'all have fun. But, you know, Memorial Day is traditionally in South Carolina. I assume most southern states. I don't think they do it in Minnesota or whatever. But it's the traditional start of the boating season. And we try to keep things relevant and timely here on the show. So I'm joined by Sergeant Ray Lewis, Department of Natural Resources. He and I are going to talk some boating safety. He's been in investigations for a long time. Now he's over in the education side. And we're going to talk some equipment, behavior, and some zero-tolerance stuff. So, Sergeant Lewis, thanks for taking time out of your day to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Well, thank you, Roger, for having me. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, it is the time of the year for everybody. You know, I'm sure people started dragging their boats out. Next weekend, they're going to hit the water in full force. And it is something we all need reminding about every year is just how to be safe.
Sure.
But before we get to safety, though, there's some general stuff we need to know. So you lead the conversation, and I'll follow. How's that?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. you know, our guys are, you know, we kind of have a running joke that, you know, turkey season and boating season open on the same day because it never fails that, you know, guys will be out there in the woods working turkey hunting and getting calls out on the lake. So, you know, as soon as these warm weekends roll around, you know, people are out and about.
Sure.
And, you know, and it is. And our guys are going to be out there as much as they can. And certainly, you know, with Memorial Day being here, you know, they're going to be out there in full force, you know, throughout the summertime and certainly on the big holiday weekends. But, you know, one of the things most people, you know, that spend time around boats know, you know, about the safety equipment and, you know what our guys are looking for. So I'll spend a little bit of time talking about that.
Okay.
You know, the one thing that I hope that most everybody knows by now that we spend, you know, we're blue in the face, you know, preaching about it is life jackets.
Sure.
You know, life jackets save lives. It's just a fact,
right,
that they do. And, that kind of falls into, you know, kind of one of those zero tolerance things that you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
We'll get into later. But, you know, that's one of the main things we're looking for as safety equipment goes is that everybody has enough life jackets for everybody on board, but it's not enough that they have enough life jackets for everybody. They also have to be of the proper size and fit.
Right.
And we see that a lot where, you know, they'll have kids on a boat and, you know, they'll hold up, you know, a bunch of orange adult life jackets. Well, you know, that 6-year-old kid isn't going to be able to wear an adult, you know, life jacket. And so they have to be of the proper size and fit. And we want people to take time to look inside the life jackets, look at the labels. You know, they have, you know, everything from infant all the way up through double and triple extra large. So
okay,
there's one, should be one for everybody. And we want to make sure that people are looking at the sizes and chest sizes and weights and all that, and make sure that, you know, before they get out on the water, you know, leaving the dock is not the time to look under the seat to make sure you've got everything. You know,
no.
It's a week or so before to make sure you know, when you're cleaning the boat in your driveway to make sure you're going through all your stuff, make sure it's good. And that they're serviceable, meaning that they're not rotten, you know, they don't have holes in the corners of them and all that stuff. If it's got a hole and a bunch of rips and tears, you know, we look at that and consider that as not a valid life jacket. You know, that life jacket needs to be replaced.
Okay.
So, fire extinguishers are another one. That's one that kind of, I don't know, you know, people get a little confused on that and, you know, not sure about what size boat they got to have it on. And basically what we say is, look, okay, if that boat has a built-in permanent mounted gas tank, or if it's got an engine compartment, a compartment that's going to entrap vapors,
okay,
they have to have a type BC fire extinguisher. And yes, fire extinguishers do come in different types. They have different type materials in there for different types of fires. But,
okay,
and my thing, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And BC would be for what? Gas fires?
Yes, that's going to be petroleum-based fires and electrical fires.
Okay, all right.
It's going to cover that. And I think A is general material, you know, wood, stuff like that.
Okay.
But, yeah, but my thing is, look, whether or not you are required to have a fire extinguisher, you know, you may not need a fire extinguisher, but if you come across somebody else that is in distress and needs one and you don't have one, you're no help to them.
Right.
you know, they're not that big. Go ahead and get you one and have it on board. You never know when you, and we do. I mean, every single year we deal with boat fires, even jet skis. You know, I've seen a lot of jet skis that have gone up, you know, or exploded, you know, where people had fuel leaks on them or whatever. And a lot of times on jet skis, man, people, they don't have a clue where the fire extinguisher is located on that jet ski. They do place them in different areas on those jet skis. So people need to be familiar with that. So,
okay.
So that's, you know, life jackets, fire extinguishers, whistles and horns, a sound producing device, even on a kayak, you know, any vessel out there on the water, whether it's mechanically propelled or not, is required to have a sound producing device. Can be something as small as a referee whistle, but, you know, but they do have to have that on board at any given time. So
what's the, go into just a second, what's the purpose of having a sound making device on board a boat?
Well, a number of different things. First and foremost, for anybody, and this gives me an opportunity to push our boating safety classes. For anybody that takes an education class, a boating safety class, they learn part of the navigational rules actually require you to give a blast of a horn or a whistle. If you're passing somebody from behind, you're actually supposed to give two short blasts to let them know that you're passing them. The vast majority of boaters do not know that, or certainly don't heed to that. But so that's one reason it's required. Another reason is you get out there, and let's say you're in a fog bank. You know as well as I do on some of these lakes.
Wow.
It doesn't take long for the fog to roll in, and it's nice to be able to let, you know, other boaters, you know, if you hear another boat in your vicinity, it's nice to, you know, let somebody know, hey, I'm over here or something. Yeah. More importantly, and especially on the jet skis and stuff, is, you know, you're out in the middle of the lake, you know, you get injured, you know, or you're in distress, you know, you may be yelling for help, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that that somebody at a house on the shoreline is going to hear you. You get a whistle or a horn, you start blowing that whistle, you know, loud enough, that's going to get somebody's attention.
It will.
So there's several different reasons to have a sound producing device.
Okay. Good.
So that's the other things, throwable cushions. It kind of goes along hand in hand with the PFDs. Certain boats do not require, for boats under 16 feet in length, they're not required to have a throwable device on there. But again, good idea. If you ever get thrown out of a boat and you're injured, you can't put a life jacket on, it's good to have something you can throw to somebody. So,
yep.
So those are the main things we're looking for. Certainly at nighttime, you know, we're looking for lights, make sure all the lights are working in order. That all around white light in the back is one that a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to, but if a boat's approaching you from behind, they're not going to see that red and green light in the front. And if you don't have that all-around white light on, they're not going to see anything.
Right.
And has the potential to run over you, son.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we're talking about boating and all that. Minimum age for boaters as far as operating a boat, what are the rules here in South Carolina?
Sure. The rule is that if they're under 16 years of age, they have to have taken a boating safety class, and they are given a certificate. It's you know, it's not a license at all. It's just a card saying you've taken the class. But they have to have that card in their possession, and that is one of the things we're looking at. Now, anybody can take the class, but you're not required to take the class if you're over the age of 16. However, I personally am a very big proponent of people taking boating safety classes. We don't have a license requirement in this state. So there's really not, you know, for anybody over the age of 16, there's not a lot. You know, you can pretty well go out and buy the biggest, fastest boat you can afford and take off down the lake wide open and, you know, never having operated so much as a canoe and you're legal. Now that's, you know, to me, that's dangerous. But I highly, highly encourage people to take an education course that we offer. You know, we offer them, and we have, you go on the DNR website, you can get a calendar of events, and it'll show you where the classes are being held all across the state. The U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary and the U.S. Power Squadron also offer classes. So there's, you know, there are classes out there, you know, being offered that, that can be taken. And what I tell people is, look, you know, you can take the class online as well.
Okay.
A lot of people do that. I prefer the classroom setting for the simple fact that you get to have a conversation, you get to bounce ideas off of each other, you know, you get to ask questions and stuff. And I encourage everybody, I don't care how long you've been operating a boat. A lot of people say, well, I operated a boat my whole life, I don't need a class. Well, you know, maybe that's true, but I can promise you there is, you're going to learn something, even
sure.
if it's just one little thing. You know, those classes dispel a lot of myths and rumors and give factual information. A lot of people come away from the class, well, man, I thought you could do that, or I always, you know, I always assumed, you know, that was legal. Well, it's not, you know, so that's why the classes are good. A lot of good information in there.
Got about a minute or so left where I want to take a break and
sure.
do the bottom of the hour. What are you supposed to do if you see or are involved in a boating accident while you're out there on the water?
Very good question. That's, the obvious answer to that is you call 911 immediately, you know, whether there's injuries or not. There are some, you know, certain requirements, where people, you know, can wait if there's not an injury, if there's not a loss of consciousness or anything like that. They have, they have 48 hours that they can report the accident. But,
okay.
you know, obviously, you know, I always say treat it like a vehicle. If you're in a vehicle accident on the road, what are you going to do? You're going to call the cops and say,
sure.
hey, I had an accident, you know, and get a report, you know, for insurance purposes.
Right.
Same thing applies there. Don't wait 24 hours, 48 hours. You know, call somebody immediately, you know, and let us know so we can come out. You know, it's not that we're, you know, want to rush right out there and write somebody a ticket, you know, but we want to make sure that, okay, A, everybody's safe. You know, it's not a hit and run or anything like that. You know, we can fill out an accident report. We can provide a copy of that to you if you've got insurance on your boat, you know, get it fixed, all that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. Very good. Well, look, hang on through the break. We're going to be back with more with
Absolutely.
Sergeant Trey Lewis on boating safety here in South Carolina. I think we're going to get into a little bit of the real stuff about, you know, behavior and operating a boat and all. So hang on, more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side of the break. It's a Huey Lewis kind of a day on Woods and Water, South Carolina. I think that's three straight, which is good. I like two for Tuesdays and three for Thursdays, so I hope you do too. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are talking to Sergeant Ray Lewis with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources about boating. Covered a lot of the equipment, some of the things you need to know last segment. In this segment, we're going to get into more of the behavior, operating the vehicle, stuff that the department, the officers in the department look for when they're out there on the lake that'll get you in trouble. So if you want to stay out of trouble, I guess don't do them, right, Sergeant?
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, that's the safety equipment, again, you know, very important, but that's, you know, that's not the main thing that we're out there looking for. You know, again, just like, you know, if you're operating a vehicle up down the highway, you know, yes, they're looking to see, you've got a seatbelt on and a, you know, tag and all that stuff, but you know, they're also mainly looking for speeding and reckless operation and stuff like that. So it's kind of the same thing with us. You know,
sure.
we're looking for you know, different behaviors out there, what people are doing, and the majority of the stops that our guys make out there, you know, are based on, you know, something that somebody is doing that is wrong. One of the things I think we spoke before, one of the things that that definitely, you know, is something where our guys are on the lookout for is what we call negligent operation. And negligent operation is kind of an umbrella law. There's lots of things that you can do that fall under negligent operation. And basically what it is it's just, you know, dangerous operation of the boat. One of the big things that, you know, that I've certainly look out for, and all of our officers do, is what we call bow riding.
Okay.
And that's, especially on a pontoon boat, you've got to,
yeah.
you know, whether that boat is designed to have pedestal seats, you know, bass fishing seats out on the front of it or not, you know, that is not the place to be when that boat is underway. And then certainly, you know, sitting on the front edge of that boat, dangling feet in the water when the boat's, you know, going wide open down the lake, that's, you know, that's a life-threatening situation. You know, all, and when we stop people and we talk to them, say, hey, you know, if you hit a log that's full with all the rain and the lake's being filled, yes, there's all kind of debris out there. You hit a log, you hit a shoal, you hit a sandbar or something, and that person's going to go right off the front of that boat, and on a pontoon boat especially, they're going right between the tubes, right back to where the motor is. And I don't care how proficient you are, you're not going to get that boat stopped fast enough.
Right.
Before hitting somebody, and it's just a very, very dangerous situation. And you know, and typically that will get you a ticket, or a, you know, or at least a warning ticket on something like that. But on the jet skis, you know, a big one with the jet skis is, and then the kids love to do, is get out there, and it's not, and it's not just kids doing. I see plenty,
sure,
of adults doing it.
Sure.
But, you know, when they're getting out there, spraying each other, you know, running at each other and turning at the very last second, and spraying each other, or they do it on a dock, you know, or something like that. That's you know, again, that there are no minor injuries in jet ski accidents. You know,
right,
you have a collision like that, somebody's gonna, you know, gonna have some serious injuries, whether it's head, you know, torso or leg injuries. And so, you know, anytime we see stuff like that, we're definitely gonna stop them and, you know, and try to prevent that behavior or address that behavior.
Okay.
You know, again, another little saying that we have amongst ourselves is, you know, 90% of boating is common sense, and 90% of the boaters don't have any, it seems like.
It is so
much of the stuff is just, you just have to think about what you're doing and
right,
ask yourself, okay, is what I'm doing safe and by the book or not? So.
And usually stuff like this, it's a lot of fun while you're doing it. Until something happens.
It is. And nobody thinks it's going to happen to them.
Right.
And it happens so fast. You know, things out there on the water happen so fast. And you're right. It's people, I don't know why people have the attitude on the water that it's the weekend or it's the holiday. I'm off work. I'm out here with my family. You know, what could possibly go wrong? And, you know, and it's, you know, you people, you know, a lot of times out on the water during the summertime, they cast, you know, good judgment to the side and go out and do. Doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean that they don't, you know, they make good decisions Monday through Friday. They're just making some bad decisions on Saturday and Sunday, you know, and so those are just a few of the things that you know, that we're looking for. And another big one, especially on these lakes with the, how narrow some of these coves are is you know, violation of wake zones.
Okay.
People staying at idle speed near docks. You know, with a lot of people that live on these lakes, we just get bombarded with complaints.
Sure.
About boaters, whether, and it could be bass boaters, it could be jet skis, it could be, you know, ski boats. You know, and you know, if I'm going to pull my kids tubing, yeah, I don't want to be in the main channel of the lake where the water's rough. I want to get back in one of these coves where it's
right,
nice and quiet. Well, then I'm out there with my ski boat and I'm just plowing along, you know, throwing this huge wake, and it's just clobbering, you know, the docks and the boats, you know, where people live on the lake. So that's
right,
what we ask is that. And that law actually states that you have to be at idle speed within 50 feet,
okay,
of a dock, wharf, pier, anchored vessel displaying a dive or down flag. And, you know, and again, it's common sense. You know, hey, if you have a dock,
yeah,
if you want people doing that at your
dock, right,
well, if not, then
don't
slow
do
down.
It. Yeah.
You know, so.
What the phrase, you're responsible for your wake. You know,
yeah,
we hear that. I do a fair amount of saltwater fishing where, you know, you're dealing with a lot of different size boats, and you know, maybe in the intercoastal waterway or coming out the jetties in Charleston. What does that phrase mean as a boat operator? And give us an explanation of that.
Well, you know, we'll take the word responsible and we'll replace it with liable. You know, you are, you know, you're liable for the wake that you throw. If it can be proven that your wake caused damage to a boat, you know, or a dock, you can be prosecuted, you know, for causing that damage. And, now that's kind of a tough thing to, you know, to prove sometimes, but
sure,
it has been done in the past. And, you know, it's, we put a lot of those signs out, you know, around the lake, and you'll see them, and it says you're responsible for your wake. And, you know, and we're trying to get people's attention, say, hey, you know, slow down, because, you know, just because there's no buoy there, just because there's nothing that says, hey, this is a no wait zone, doesn't mean that you don't have to slow down, you know.
Right.
And if you don't, and there's, you know, it can be proved, or somebody gets your registration numbers, you know, off your boat and contacts us, you know, we can follow up on that, and, you know, charges can be made. So.
Okay. Alcohol. You know, it's a, everybody loves to get out on the water. They love to drink a little bit. What, and there's pretty much a no zero, you told me this, there's a no zero tolerance policy for alcohol, boating under the influence. Talk a little bit about that so people know exactly where that goes.
Yeah, it's, you know, talking about the zero tolerance, you know, I obviously life jackets. I've already said that, you know, it's zero tolerance on life jackets, and we have zero tolerance on boating under the influence. You know, if you're out there and you're, you know, you're drunk, and then drunk, you know, drunk to one person means something different to somebody else.
Sure.
You know, there is no set, you know, alcohol limit that makes you drunk, you know, and we have a 0.08 limit for blood alcohol content, same as it is in the vehicle. And, you know, Saturday afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I see somebody kicking a beer back. That's probably not his first one of the day. And, you know, and it's, you know, it, the, basically what the law says is, you know, we do not have an open container law in a boat.
Okay.
A lot of people think that, and if they want to keep thinking that, that's
sure.
fine. I have a problem with that. But, you know, passengers in a boat can be drinking. The operator, you know, and I'm gonna, you know, bad as I hate to say it, I'm gonna say, you know, they can be, you know, consuming alcohol, but they just cannot be over that 0.08 limit. And if they are, we do have a series of standardized field sobriety tests that we can perform in the boat. Does not require them to stand on one leg or walk on water or anything else like that. They are standardized tests that can be performed while they're seated in the boat. And if they fail those tests, they're going to be placed under arrest for boating under the influence, just like you would in a vehicle. And you will go to jail, and you will spend the night in jail, and you will have lots of things to deal with after that,
okay.
You know, as far as court and all that stuff. So, so you can have alcohol in the boat. You just can't be under the influence and be driving the boat. And again, it goes back to that whole common sense statement, you know, just get somebody who's sober and who's not drinking at all
to drive
the boat that day.
Yep.
It's not that hard. You know, we have accidents, and not all accidents are caused by alcohol. A lot of people think that the majority of our accidents are caused by alcohol, and they're not. Usually accidents involving alcohol are violent accidents that do involve injuries and death. Negligent operation, careless, reckless operation is our top cause of boating accidents in this state. And it's just people not knowing what they're doing, not taking a class, not learning what the rules of the road are, not knowing how to properly operate that boat. And that's what's causing the majority of the accidents. Kind of going back towards safety equipment again, it's not a required item, but one of the biggest things that we're seeing is the use of kill switches and safety lanterns.
Yes.
So many boat accidents could be prevented if people would use those. And I can't tell you how many boating accidents we've used where the lanyard, or not used, but how many accidents we've worked where a lanyard was there. It was attached to the kill switch. It just the other end of it was not attached to the person, and the person got thrown out of the boat. And it just takes a second. All you got to do is clip it to your life jacket, clip it to your belt loop. And, you know, and we really would like to see, you know, more people using those and giving them the attention they deserve. So.
That is one of the scariest situations I've ever been in. I was by myself. I just launched my flats boat, just turned it, you know, back to down the ramp, off the dock, turned it to go out on Lake Murray. I was going to my cousin's house. Gust of wind came along, still had my hat on. I throttled up, knocked my hat off my head. Well, as I came around to try to pick up my hat, you know, I'd This is a really stupid story. I grabbed the steering wheel with one hand. This is just for people that are listening, because I'm sure everybody's done this. Grabbed the steering wheel with my right hand, leaned as far as I could off to my left to try to pick up my hat. And as I did, I started sliding. I lost my grip on the handle, back off the back left-hand side of the boat I went into the water, managed to grab the poling platform on my flats boat, which is right next to the motor, and somehow or another planed myself away from the prop because it was still engaged. And, I mean, you know, I was younger. I was in my, probably my 30s. But that one instance right there, I don't get behind the boat, driving the boat without the kill switch in, you know, because it was just, boom, boom, boom. It was a little, the side of the boat was a little wet, and I just slid right off the side. And, you know, somehow I managed, luckily for me, I grabbed the poling platform. I had recessed trim tabs, and I got my foot into my trim tab, got back on the boat. But, I mean, it just like that.
It changed your behavior.
Oh,
and that's what we're after. You know, I don't want somebody to have to be involved in an accident or witness an accident where there's an injury or death before their behavior is changed. Yeah. You know, we just want people to think about what they're doing and tell themselves, yes, it can happen to me.
Yeah. I mean, I could have done any number of things. I could have pulled the boat in throttle, you know, in a neutral, you know, but no, I was being smooth, you know. I was going to scoop that hat right up out of the water and just take off and go. So lesson learned, at least from this thing. One thing in closing, and have we covered most everything?
I think, from your standpoint? You know, we could sit here all day and talk about different things and tell stories, but no, I think we've covered the big stuff. So.
One thing that I know you do every year before major holidays, I'm sure you do it before Memorial Day, is you'll have complimentary boat checks at the ramps. Y'all going to have that again this year?
Yeah, we try to do that every year, and it's not, you know, we typically try to do it around holiday weekends. It's not always a holiday weekend. And look, if you're not sure, call us. Call DNR. Okay. Call our 1-800 number and say, hey, I'd like to have an officer, you know, meet up with an officer and have him go through my stuff or look at my boat and make sure everything's good. And, you know, we'd be more than happy to do something like that. But, yeah, we do the courtesy checks, and usually you can find a list of where those are going to be on the website. And, you know, on the holidays, I know we will have them on Memorial Day weekend. I don't know exactly what all ramps it's going to be at, but it'll be most of your big ramps and South Cove on Kiwi, you know, places like that. But you know, and registrations is another big thing we're looking for. You know, make sure your registration and your title work, all that stuff is up to snuff, and that you've got valid numbers on the boat, because, you know, if an officer, you ride by and an officer sees a number and it's expired, you can expect to be stopped and have some problems. So you know, that's another thing to look at before you hit the water.
You know, it's not a far stretch to say boating is a lot like driving a car, except you don't have lanes.
It absolutely is, which, in my opinion, makes it a lot more dangerous.
Yeah.
But you really got to have your head on a swivel and be paying attention.
Sergeant Lewis, and I, one more thing in closing here. You guys are not out there to ruin everybody's weekend and give them a bad time, hard time, and you know, you're out there, your number one goal is to keep everybody out on the water safe. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. You know, most of our guys, all of our guys, they're great guys. You know, they're going to bend over backwards to help you. I'm sure people have had some bad experiences, but you know what? If you got a ticket, you probably had it coming. You know, you probably did something that you know, we're not, you know, if we can cut some people some slack, you know, and educate people, you know, that's what we're going to do. But if there's something that needs to be addressed, you know, if we got a job to do, we're going to address it. And, you know, they're good guys. You know, they'll do everything they can to help you. You know, if you've got a question or something, you know, feel free to ask, you know, or pull one of them over. If you see one, flag them down and just thank them, you know, thank them for what they do. Because you know what? You're out there. You're off work. You're with your family. You're enjoying the weekend. They're not.
They're working.
Know, they're working. And it's some long, hard, hot days. And, you know, and they do a good job with the, you know, with the handful of guys that we do have. You know, they work really hard.
Very good. Well, Sergeant Lewis, thank you for doing this for me. And, you know, you see a guy in green, thank him. They're out there trying to keep you safe. Sergeant Lewis, thank you, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate what you do.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I think we've done it. I think we've had Huey Lewis and the News for all the bumper music today. What a great group. I love him. What a great song. I don't know of any of his songs I don't enjoy listening to. And no, this is not a rock and roll broadcast. This is an outdoor radio show, but I love that era of music. Sorry about that. That bothers you? Well, you know, about 15 seconds into each segment and 30 seconds before each, you can tune it out. You can just, nothing I've got to say over the music is going to matter anyway. So I forgot to mention that the calendar events at the beginning of this show is brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pine Landing Event Center. We got something else. But I hope you'll take what Sergeant Lewis and I talked about to heart. When you get there on the water, we just want you to be safe. And those are some of the things you need to keep you safe and some of the things you don't need to do to keep you and others out there safe. So take that for what it's worth. And I hope you have a great, great Memorial Day weekend out on the lake. The river is calling. The 10th annual Saluda River Rally is coming up June 1st. And this is one I always have Matt Schell on. Just don't have the time to get him on this year to talk about it. But, you know, Anderson County and Upstate South Carolina Partners have provided a destination kayaking event on the Saluda River for a decade now, promoting outdoor recreation, healthy lifestyle. This year is no different. It's the return of the Piedmont Dam Portage, so you can cover more river miles, engage more towns and partners, and offer exclusive access around the Piedmont Dam. They said feedback from previous year's rally led organizers to revamp the event to give more people more time to enjoy longer trips on the river. So here are your options. And don't forget, PFD and Noisemaker are required, just like what we heard. There's a 9-mile paddle from Dolly Cooper to Piedmont. You must be in the water by 2 p.m. There's a 15-mile paddle from Dolly Cooper to Timmerman Junior Kayak Launch. Must be in the water no later than 11 a.m., and leave Saluda River Grill no later than 2 p.m. And all the proceeds benefit Special Olympics Area 14. They're going to have entertainment at the Saluda River Grill. The 9-mile paddle, first launch is at 8 a.m., final launch at 2 p.m. The 15-mile paddle, first launch is at 8 a.m., final launch at 11 a.m. Final launch from Piedmont Dam Portages at 2 p.m. Sponsors, Saluda River Grill, South Carolina Kayak Fishing Club, Senior Solutions, SaveOurSaluda.org. Oh, there's Woods and Water, South Carolina. Piedmont Fire Department, Special Olympics of South Carolina, Anderson, South Carolina, Upstate Forever, Powdersville Fire Rescue, The Angler Magazine, Touch the Future, and Gimme That Outdoors. So, you know, go rent a kayak for a day. You and your family go down there. You do a trip. You stop. You listen to music. You eat. You can leave there, or you can continue down the river. Just going to be a fun day. A fun day. News out this week. Turkey, there are new turkey regulations going forward for next year. I know we just finished up turkey season this year. A lot of new regulations and recommendations from the Department of Natural Resources to the legislature on turkey season after this turkey study we had. And, you know, part of it makes me want to scratch my head thinking, why do we even have a 3-year study and recommendations and data collection from one of the premier turkey researchers at Louisiana State University and spend $600,000+ to do it when we're just going to ignore what the study told us. But anyway, that's what happens when you have the legislature in charge of game laws like we do here in South Carolina. So here you go. For you turkey hunters, starting next year, the new structure creates 2 regional season periods. In other words, we're going to go back to having low country and up country. April 1st through May the 10th for the upstate, which is game zones 3 and 4. Is that right? No, 1 and 2. I think it's 1 and 2. As long as I've lived here and hunted here, it is game zones 1 and 2. And March the 22nd through April the 30th in the low country, which is 3 and 4. You know, a lot of people saying, oh, this is great. It closely coincides with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources' original program proposal of April 10th as a start date, which it really doesn't. You know, if they proposed April 10th, that's where we should have gone with, because the first start of incubation on the nest was April the 9th. And the whole purpose of this whole thing was to give the gobblers as much time as they needed to breed the hens. So anyway, going on, daily limit of one bird, a one bird limit in the first 10 days of the season, which is intended to reduce early season harvest, and more gobblers will be available for breeding season early in the season. Okay, I can live with that. State residents will still be able to take 3 birds during the season, non-residents only 2. The tags, I believe, are going to be 3 tags for $5 for residents. I think $100 non-residents for 2 tags. And it also implements the development of an electronic check-in system for reporting harvest, which is something we've talked about with the deer tags that DNR knows they need and want. And so they're working towards that. So, you know, I guess you got what you got. It just sometimes it leaves me scratching my head thinking, why do we do all this when we have to deal with electricity? And they'll tell you. They voted what their constituents told them. And there are a lot of turkey hunters out there that don't like starting any later. And so they got pounded with turkey hunters wanting early start dates. And which makes me question, turkey hunters, are you more interested in killing a turkey or seeing the survival of a natural and the growing of a natural resource? So my thoughts on the new turkey season dates. And I may start turkey hunting again. Doggone it. I guess to have a voice in it, I need to be involved, right? Makes sense. Thanks for listening. Appreciate all of you every week tuning in and catching up with what's going on in the outdoors in South Carolina. As always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. I'll be at a wedding, but you'll be back here with Steve Ranella, Meat Eater, next Saturday, Woods and Water, South Carolina. See you then.